This is the Capital Toyota Sports Ticket, presented by Asphalt Armor, the only local sports talk show in the Mid-Willamette Valley. Now, here's Jeff Morgan and Hunter Newton on 1430 KYKN.
Another week has passed, Hunter, and here we are, the Sports Ticket on 1430 KYKN. And what a beautiful week it has been. Outstanding. Spring is in full swing. I mean, we got baseball, kids are doing lots of stuff. I mean, it's parents have got to be busy right now, including you.
Yeah, it's feeling a little summerish kind of a thing. I'm expecting this last month, I mean, being April 1st or May 1st already. God, you know, day it is anymore. But yeah, May 1st, I'm going, this last month plus of school is going to be so difficult if the weather stays this way.
I don't see it going anywhere, and the only concern I have is like summertime when things get really dry, and we could have a bad fire season. I hate to say that, but you know, this is the second year in a row where we haven't got that much rain. But yeah. You know what? It promotes camping, and I don't know if anybody's ever thought of this, but you might want to think about a Mercedes Sprinter van, which they can convert to a really cool sleeping vehicular. Comes with everything.
Well, I'm sitting here going, I think last weekend you had the honor of really kicking off spring at the spring football game. And how fun would it have been to have a nice Mercedes Sprinter van to tailgate out of?
It would have been phenomenal.
I mean, Jerry Allen could have had a nice comfy seat sitting in a Sprinter van with you.
You know, I had to be honest. I mean, having Jerry on last week was absolutely fantastic. He is such an amazing person. He's the voice of the Ducks, and you would never know it just talking to him. He's just a normal guy, totally humble. And yeah, he actually made the statement after we were off the air. He's like, man, I love coming out here. I want to do this with you guys. He goes, I've never gotten to come out and do this. And now I see exactly what you do. It's just like, this is amazing. Well, he had fans and everybody. I mean, Jerry's an icon. Mm-hmm. For the University of Oregon Duck football program, and people just walking by, he's fist pumping people while we're on the air. I mean, it was unbelievable.
Well, you brought the party to the tailgate. Let's put it that way. And you just showed a little sneak preview of what your fall season looks like when you are out there each and every home game on a Saturday.
You know, I was surprisingly thrilled with how many people attended this. The stadium was almost mm-hmm. packed. I mean, it was incredible. We had to get there early, and half of the parking lot was already full. So we had to like find a spot because it was free. There's no spots. I mean, you got to find your own. And Mike Gallagher came down with me, and he had a great time. He's actually known Jerry for, gosh, I think back in the late 90s where they used to do some other things together. But yeah, it's good to have relationships with cool people like that. Mm-hmm. And it's just like, man, who gets to do these things? And we get to do them, and it's... Sometimes I feel guilty. It's like, am I allowed to have this much fun?
am I really getting paid to have this much fun? Come on.
Yeah, no kidding. It's it really is cool. But the Duck football team, I mean, shoot, we actually were tearing down, and they went right to the kickoff. And so we didn't get in there for both early touchdowns. One, from Dylan Riola. He came in from Nebraska. And so he had a touchdown after Dante Moore threw one earlier. So, yeah, all the highlights were there for the most part. And then it was just kind of back and forth. And we actually had a kid that he tried a 54-yard field goal. I don't even remember who he is. I mean, he missed it wide right, but he had plenty of leg. And so I don't think the Ducks have had a field goal kicker that can come close to doing that for years. Yeah.
Well, I've always found that in college sports, it seems like the special teams is always the forgotten thing. I mean, how many years did I watch, you know, Pac-12 football and games would come down to a missed field goal late? And I'm just going, special teams are as important as anything else if you're talking championship caliber team. And everything I heard, this place was packed. It was rocking. People were out having an amazing time. And I think the fun of this spring game on our side is you were the pregame show. Like you said, you were breaking down after finishing up and the game was underway.
That's right.
On a normal day, you've got a Duck pregame show coming in between. So, you got plenty of time. But how cool is it that KYKN was pretty much the official pregame show for Duck spring football?
Yeah, we were the only ones out there doing it. And like you said, they just went straight to kickoff. Maybe they had 10 minutes, but then it was just a small little post game. But yeah, it was Jerry, Jorgie, and Joey Mack. up in the press box. And yeah, actually, Jerry gave us a shout out on the broadcast too, which was really cool. So yeah, appreciate our relationship with those guys. It's absolutely amazing.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, but yeah, a lot of great plays. A lot of new people that I can't remember their names.
Well, that's the thing. So much excitement starts on spring football Saturday. It literally is such a precursor, and especially a team like the Ducks that is looking at, you know, being a top 10 team in preseason rankings and only going up from there. The excitement that something like this builds, it's immeasurable.
Yeah, and you know, there's a lot of speed on that ball club, mm-hmm. all over the place. And really, when you come out of a spring game, you just don't want to have any injuries. I mean, that's a big deal. I mean, Evan mm-hmm. Stewart, he had a number of catches on Saturday. You know, he was out all last year with a knee injury, and so he was really excited to get back out there and showcase what he's got, and made a number of great plays. DeCorian Moore, same thing, had a huge catch in the very end to set up a field goal. Yeah, just a lot. There were, you know, most of the players were either in green or in yellow, and then others were in a dark uniform, which they can't be touched. Quarterbacks, running backs, and the like. So it was funny because I can't remember who was going down the sideline, but scored a touchdown, but it was only because he couldn't get tackled because he had that uniform on. You know?
Well, that's one way to get those touchdowns scored. You can't touch this.
That's right. Can't touch this. That's right. Oh, man. So, yeah, great time. Ducks are going to be good. There's no doubt about that. So looking forward to another great season coming up in the fall.
Yep. So we do have our shortened schedule today because we go to the Mariners at 5:30 this afternoon. So we should probably take a break. Maybe when we come back, we talk about those Ducks we lost to the NFL draft.
Sounds good.
All right. Coming up right after this, you're listening to the Sports Ticket on 1430 KYKN.
Back to the Capital Toyota Sports Ticket, presented by Asphalt Armor, with Jeff and Hunter on 1430 KYKN.
And welcome back to the Sports Ticket. It's a phenomenal Friday, and I think Friday's going to only get better with a three-topping Domino's large pizza for only $7.99.
Well, why would you want to go and, you know, turn on the stove or turn on the onion when we're pushing 80 degrees
the
here?
Onion? Yeah, I mean, why wouldn't you just go do that? I mean, it's a carryout, just drive in. You know, the one on South Commercial by Fred Meyer. I mean, you can just, it's an old Taco Bell. You can just drive through and pick it up.
Drive through a window?
You have to get through out of your car. Or if you want to save 20%, just go online and boom.
Boom.
There you go.
All right. They must have had to, you know, adapt that window a little bit because I think in a Taco Bell, it's a little narrow and I wouldn't want them turning my pizza sideways to set it out the window.
Oh, that's funny. Yeah. So you've got, what Ducks actually got to the NFL?
So we had seven Ducks depart the school that were selected within the NFL draft and a couple other that signed after the draft. Of course, Kenyon Sadiq, the tight end, the 16th overall pick going to the New York Jets is kind of the headliner. And Dylan Thieneman, who went in the first round as well, pick number 25, he went over to the Chicago Bears. Watching a lot of that, and we talked a little bit last week because this happened last Thursday. The Bears have spent the last number of years picking up offensive weapons, but their defense is what kind of kept them with a ceiling. So now this year they went defense and started it with Thieneman, the safety from the Ducks. In round three, offensive lineman Emmanuel Pregnon went to the Jacksonville Jaguars. In round four, the Kansas City Chiefs selected defensive back Jaden Kennedy. And also in round four, the Indianapolis Colts picked linebacker Bryce Betcher. And then in round six, heading out to Vegas for the Raiders, wide receiver Malik Benson.
Good for him.
The Chargers of Los Angeles in round six got offensive lineman Alex Harkey. And then signing after the draft is undrafted free agents. Matthew Bedford, the offensive lineman, signed with the New Orleans Saints. And James Ferguson Reynolds, the punter, signed with the New York Giants.
Very good. I think that's a pretty good showing overall, don't you?
I would think when you got seven guys drafted from both sides of the ball, I mean, it's three to four virtually, defense four, offense three. Without the big headliner, your quarterback being selected, or, you know, because he didn't go to the draft this year, surprisingly to some. I'm saying they're going seven guys in seven rounds of draft. That's a great number. A couple more guys signing after the draft day. It's something I think we can kind of grow to expect from the Ducks. If you're a top 10 contender year after year, this is kind of the outlook. Of course, you know, Ohio State rocked it with what, like five or six guys picked in the first 20 picks.
Yeah, that's crazy. Mm-hmm. But, you know, seven guys, that's a testament to Dan Lanning. And I think that's going to do a really good number for them as far as recruiting goes. And, well, on both sides, just coming out of high school, plus on the portal, because you've got these, a lot of these guys came to the Ducks. They weren't necessarily on the radar. Mm-hmm. Or if they would have stayed with their teams like Thinnemann coming out of Purdue, probably wouldn't have gotten the same kind of looks that he got, you know, being on the big stage with the Ducks, because Purdue was awful.
Yeah, well, some of that, you know, these little notes around here. Nine Ducks were invited to the NFL Combine this year. All seven of the drafted players were, and two others. The draft features a mix of homegrown, you know, full career Ducks and a few transfers in. And then this is without, like we just said, Dylan Moore, but also wide receiver Tez Johnson and defensive end Mateo Ugalele were both expected to be high picks if they had declared for the draft. So they're coming back for another year.
Yeah, I don't see how anybody could think Dante Moore would go to the NFL draft, because realistically, it all came down to the playoff games. I mean, mm-hmm. that's the competition you're going to be playing in the NFL, and he did not do very well. So he has a lot to learn. Only 20 years old last year on this kind of a stage. Mm-hmm. Are you kidding me? All the pressure on this guy, and he made some bad decisions. So hopefully he can learn from this year, hopefully. And so we don't make those mistakes, and maybe the Ducks can pull it off. So,
well, and you can also learn from his predecessor. Bo Nix, you know, could have left any number of times and probably gone to the NFL. He stuck around and played his, what, sixth year in college for the Ducks, and stepped right into being a starter for the Denver Broncos, and by year two they were a playoff team.
And he's excelling.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it really helped him learn and be disciplined enough to go in and be ready.
Yeah.
Plus, well, he was old.
And that's one of those things you see at the NFL. There's a line, because there's been a number of stellar athletes, especially at the quarterback position, who could, you know, throw the ball 70 yards from their knees. But their maturity level was such that their NFL career fizzled out, while there's others that stuck around, played in college, might not have the same level of natural talent that some guys do, but become quality NFL quarterbacks simply because they understand the game better, they're mature, and they're ready to go on day one.
And you can look at the number one pick for Dano Mendoza. Look what he came from Cal, mm-hmm. and went to Indiana, was a national champion, and went first round. I mean, first pick, first round, whole nine yards. So you look at that, if Dante would have gone in, he wouldn't have been close.
Yep.
And who knows if, I don't even know if he would have gone in the first round, to be honest with you.
Well, and that's the thing, is there weren't many quarterbacks. This was rather a overall light quarterback draft compared to some that we see. You know, number 13 was the second quarterback pick, and that was Ty Simpson, who's going to back up Matthew Stafford this year. And he only really had one season of college experience under his belt.
And, you know, I don't know. I didn't think he really had that great of a season. I mean, they lost to Indiana in the mm-hmm. Rose Bowl, playing for Alabama, obviously. Yep. And he got hurt. But, I mean, Indiana, he got drilled yeah. numerous times. Well, Alabama could not stop the Indiana defense.
Well, and I sit here and I go, the thing about the way I think the Rams are looking at it is it's a scenario where they don't need him to step in and play every day. So they can pick a relatively inexperienced quarterback with a lot of natural talent and kind of build him up over the next year or two. I mean, Stafford's 39 years old. He's got another year. If he does the Aaron Rodgers thing, he's got a few more years. But you've got now a potential quarterback of the future coming in, and absolute worst case scenario is they determine he's not ready and they draft or sign somebody else.
And then they trade him.
Yep. This
those
is the NFL.
Happen.
And,
yeah,
and,
those things happen.
Loyalty is not to the name of the game.
It's what have you done for me lately? Mm-hmm. So, all right. The end of this segment being brought to you by Color Tile of Salem right down there on Lancaster Drive. I believe the gold sale is going on right now. So check it out.
Get in there while it's still golden.
Right. Sports Ticket right here on 1430 KYKN.
The Capital Toyota Sports Ticket, presented by Asphalt Armor, with Jeff and Hunter, continues on 1430 KYKN.
And here we are, the last segment. No, this is quick, but it is what it is. Brought to you by Bowenvine Burger Bar down there on South Commercial, where I believe there you have the best burger in this vicinity. That's my opinion.
Your humble opinion? I don't
humble.
Think it's,
I was going to say professional, but that just didn't go. That didn't fly.
No, not professional opinion. You're not a professional burger taster.
That's exact. Well, no, I'm not.
No?
But I could be.
You could be. The offer is out there. If there's any burger
should I play
place,
one on the radio, Hunter? I mean, I don't know.
You know, Bowenvine might hire you to be a professional burger taster.
They could.
There. You give them sterling reviews. I'm sitting here going, I agree. They are the best burger in Salem. My amateur assessment.
Right. Oh, gosh.
We only play professionals on the radio.
That's all we do. That's all we do. All right. Seattle Mariners are going to be coming up next, taking on the Kansas City Royals. And the Royals are struggling a little bit. And the Mariners it seems like they've caught their stride here a little bit for the last 10 games. 7-3 in the last 10. Mm-hmm. So, you know what? I think... It just took them a little time to kind of get things moving. And so at least I hope that's the case. And Raleigh, he's got 6 home runs on the season now. He started out being blanked for the first 2 weeks, so he's mm-hmm. getting there. I'm excited. We got Brian Wu taking the mound tonight.
Woo!
I love that. If you ever go to a game where he's pitching, I mean, everybody just does that. Brian Wu, woo!
That is the best way to go. And then, of course, Riggins is the one pitching for the Kansas City Royals tonight. He's 1-4 on the year with a 5 ERA, while Wu is 1-2 with a 3.86. So,
yeah, so Wu's struggling just a little bit, but, I mean, it's early. We were talking about that before we went live here, that, you know what, it just took them a little bit to get going. So you've got the pitching staff, they're starting to pitch a little bit better now. It was tough out of the gate. Mm-hmm. But, you know, here's going to be the tall tale. We've got the Atlanta Braves coming in on Monday. And so
they are rocking everyone's world right now.
They've got the best record, 22-9 right now.
Yeah. Well, and, you know, I sit here and I go, you know, first pitch night, 6:45. Pregame show starts at 5:30. This has been an interesting year in Major League Baseball because it seems like across the board, but more so in the American League than anywhere else, mediocrity is ruling right now. I saw a stat the other day where the top 12 payrolls of Major League Baseball teams are really, if you combine all of their current records and you project them out, they are a 500 ball club. That's the top 12 payrolls. That includes the Dodgers and the Braves because they're offset by the Phillies and the Red Sox, who both have fired their managers now. Because of these slow starts, as well as the New York Mets, second highest payroll in baseball and have the worst record in the league right now.
Yeah, Cora's firing from the Red Sox floored me.
Yeah.
I mean, he's a really good coach, was a great player.
Yeah. Well, so he got fired from the Red Sox, and less than 48 hours later, the Philadelphia Phillies called him up and said, "Would you like to take our job? We're going to fire Rob Thompson." So they fired Rob Thompson, and Cora declined that job opportunity. That would have been an interesting scenario to literally have him fired by the Red Sox and managing the Phillies 2 days later.
Well, the Phillies obviously see something that I think everybody else does, except for the Red Sox ownership. And, you know, you got to give it. It's only 30 days. Give me a break. And now Boston, I mean, well, maybe they needed a change because they're starting to play a lot better right now.
A lot of times it's the change in the scenario. It's not necessarily about how he's doing him as a manager or anything else. It's common in Major League Baseball where you see a team struggling and it's just a way of shaking things up and waking up the team and this and that. And unfortunately, it cost, Cora's job, but at the same time, the Red Sox needed it. The Phillies have actually turned the reins over to Don Mattingly now. So he's going to be coaching the Phillies the rest of the year.
Guy, how old is Don Mattingly? I mean, he was a Dodgers coach for a really long time.
He's got to be in his 60s at this point.
Oh, he's got he
was
really?
He was going to retire. After his last few coaching times, he kind of said, "I'm going to retire and be done." It was really Rob Thompson, the ability to work with him is what made him sit there and say, "I'm going to go ahead and come back for one more year." And now he's managing the Phillies.
Well, he's a good coach. And I like the guy. He was a phenomenal player. I played for the Yankees. I mean, guy was a stud. So do we have to get out right now?
Yeah, we better turn it over.
Rick Riz is going to take it over. So enjoy the ball game, everybody. Happy Friday. Great weekend. Take care. And we'll see you next week.
This has been the Capital Toyota Sports Ticket, presented by Asphalt Armor, with Jeff and Hunter every Friday at 5 p.m. on 1430 KYKN, where Salem is listening.